Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Miami, Florida woman telling selling sand that Tom Brady was sitting on.
What?
Yeah. When he was sitting on it when he retired, and one Miami, Florida woman is looking to capitalize. He shot this retirement video. He's on Surfside Beach in Miami. It's near his house. It was posted everywhere. But anyway, this woman who is on social media found the spot where he made his retirement video, and she's seen scooping the sand into a bag. And it's the same bag that she's trying to sell on eBay. And the high bid as of, like, I guess Saturday morning was $99,900.
Stop. Really?
I'm not even kidding. I'm not even joking. It's a bag of sand. What do you do with it? It's a bag of sand that somebody sat on. Are you kidding me? She think she's going to get off of that? I can't. And it's Tom Brady's butt sand is what it is. That's literally, I think, what it's. That's so bad. I don't know. There's. Miami landlord doubles rent and a tenant threatens to burn the house down so that nobody gets anything. That's a real estate investor in Miami. He posted this video. He informed a tenant that her rent's going up. She was paying like hardly nothing. Apparently Florida rents have been skyrocketing and she apparently did not want to pay it. They were fighting over it. And he ended up saying, well, then I'll just burn the house down and nobody will get anything. How about that? You happy with that? It's true. See, here's the thing with the CDC moratorium that people had passed that the president was trying to make law without actually making law. What about the people who own the property? They still have property taxes. They still have insurance. They have all kinds of stuff their mortgage. They have all kinds of stuff that they have to pay. So that's so ridiculous. It's like a free ride on someone else's hard work. A Seminole man, Florida man, stole 45 liquor bottles worth $1,200 from Winn-Dixie, say Pinellas County Police. They arrested 51-year-old John Bylock for an alleged theft that occurred on October 15th. He purchased two cases of beer, and then he also got a cart carrying dozens upon dozens of liquor bottles. And then he apparently purchased the two cases of beer, but then came back to grab the cart holding. He put it in the cart and act like he bought all of it. So he had 12 Crown Royal. Actually, no, I'm sorry. 24 Crown Royal. Then he had a 6 Crown Royal Apple, Dark Horse Chardonnay, Pinot Grigio, and Rikolov Deluxe Vodka. 6 of those. That's crazy. And the total was $1,282. So he's bonded out. But why would you? I mean, you're going to get caught. It's a cart full of liquor. It's a cart full of liquor. I think we're almost out of time, are we? Because I want to make sure we're getting our cues here. Okay, so also a couple of other things here. And some of these I can't at all mention. They're just bad. A couple of other things here. This woman, Florida woman, said she was going to cook and eat her neighbor. She stabbed him with an ice pick and then dismembered him. And this is Deltona, Florida. They handle a lot of missing persons cases, but there was a search for a 36-year-old named James Schaefer. And it apparently is now made this Floribama murder series. But they questioned this Florida woman who had met him and didn't like him. And then she was going to kill him and dismember him and eat him up. See, women can... Yeah, I'm telling you. What is the fastest growing international crime network that the world has ever seen? It's already passed the illegal arms trade, and soon it will pass the drug trade. Because someone can sell a bag of cocaine one time, but they can sell a child 5 to 10 times per day. On July 4th, witness the gripping reality of true heroism in the film Sound of Freedom. From Angel Studios, the force behind His Only Son and The Chosen, comes an extraordinary true story of courage and redemption. Experience the spirit of hope and the power of human resilience. The goal is for 2 million people to get into theaters the week of July 4th and remember the 2 million children who are trafficked every year. Visit angel.com/freedom. That's angel.com/freedom. Buying tickets in advance sends an important message. To show your support, purchase tickets for yourself or pay it forward so they can pack theaters the week of July 4th. Visit angel.com/freedom. Can we talk about the dinkies? the dinks. How did I put this in? Hang on. How did I put this in my rundown? Because I saw this headline and I was just making fun of it last night. I had a paragraph that I removed because I thought I was being unnecessarily mean, but now I wonder if I should keep it in. So the dinks, that's what they call them. The dinky dinks. Meet the next generation of people to be abandoned in nursing homes. That's who they are. Dual income, no kids. Now, I learned this from Bar Rescue because John Taffer was like yelling at this dude who owned this bar in this bougie neighborhood. And he's like, you have, and John Taffer, as always, he's been on the show before, John. And he was like, this is the demo you got. This is the age. You got a bunch of dinks here. And I'm like, what is a dink? And then he stopped and explained it because he just realized nobody else knew. So they're younger couples who don't have babies and they go on luxury vacations and expensive date nights. And I don't know why this headline says splurges at Costco. Okay. Do you splurge at Costco? I mean, does anyone go to Costco to get to splurge? I mean, you're usually getting mass quantities of something that you need, right? Just saying. Okay. But they call them dinks. Dual income, no kids. D-I-N-K. And they're all over TikTok, which I don't get on because it makes me want to pray for an asteroid to hit the earth faster than it's on schedule to do. So they have, it's like dink talk. I don't even know. And these people brag about their lives. Like they're like, what we did today is dinks, dual income, no cats. And then they talk about how they went and spent their money on shrimp and coconut at Costco. Okay. I mean, if that's, you know, what powers your boat, do it to it. And so they're all, I mean, it's, I don't know. I think there's like what the hashtag dink on has like 205 million views.
Did you see what dinkwad stands for?
Yeah, I love it. Dinkwad is dual income, no kids with a dog. I love it. I do think that they're going to grow up lonely and die alone, but it's still funny to make fun of right now. I say that because they're not, look, not everybody wants to be a parent, and that's fine. But I can't imagine being the age that I am now and not having a family or, you know, kids either through birth or adoption. I just can't. I just can't imagine it. It's just weird to me. Like right now we're going through a crazy tumultuous phase where we have graduations literally 6 days apart and people moving out and people moving in and people doing all, and it's nuts. And as crazy as it is and as stressful as it is, I would not trade it so I could go and quote unquote splurge at Costco and be a dinkwad. They're going to die alone. They're going to be like the people in the nursing home. It'll be like fried green tomatoes and it'll be like, you know, Kathy Bates visiting Jessica Tandy. And Jessica Tandy's going to be the dink, except in that movie, she did have a kid. But I digress. You get my point. It's just sad. I honestly wonder, because the birth rates have picked up ever so slightly. And everyone was wondering if the birth rate would explode during the lockdown. And it didn't. But, or due to the lockdown. But they said they have picked up slightly, 0.9% in 21, the same amount again in 2022. And it makes me kind of think that there is somewhat of a turnaround. Although I also wonder if it's not too soon, you know, to say such a thing. Because have you seen like Tradwife and all of this stuff starting to trend on social media? Like women are of younger, you know, younger generations are rediscovering things that have been made taboo by second wave feminists, right? Like second wave feminists looked at it as weak if you gardened or if you had home cooked meals or if you wanted to stay home. I mean, I got in a huge fight with Linda Hirschman, who was this old cantankerous, crusty feminist who was saying that if you have a college degree, oh, she has, if you have a college degree and you choose to stay home, you're betraying your sex. And it was a very public having it out. We had it out. And there've been a couple of Republican women that I've had it out with that have said things like, oh, well, you know, Republican women staying home. It's like, or if you're staying at home mother, it's like a form of welfare. And of course, it's always made by these women who don't have kids or dinks, right? Dinkwads. But I'm starting to think that there might be a rejection of this. There might be a rejection of this because people are tired. It's a very it's a false freedom and it's empty. And I think that that's, I don't know. I think that that there's a reaction to that. No. But yeah, I can't stand the name, the Dinkwads. It's true. It's the craziest thing, but I love it. I learned it off Bar Rescue. You've heard me talk about my friends at Kel-Tec for years, and it's because I really believe in them as a company and as innovators. Their firearms in design and function go above and beyond, like with the Kel-Tec P50, a revolutionary award-winning pistol that packs a punch in a compact package. The Kel-Tec P50 is perfect for home defense, for range shooting, or just even having some fun. And with its top-mounted Picatinny rail, you can easily attach your favorite optics or accessories to make it truly yours. Whether you are a seasoned shooter or you're just starting out, the Kel-Tec P50 is the perfect pistol for anyone looking for power and precision in a compact and easy-to-use package. Their firearms in design and function go above and beyond. Learn more about the P50 pistol at KeltecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Secure your world with Kel-Tec. KelTecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
This is not a headline I ever thought I would share. Sweden blames their inflation on Beyonce. Economists say the singer's visit to Stockholm accounted for a 0.3% rise in prices. They say, the experts say that she could have tipped the scales of inflation in Sweden, and they suggest that her tour probably accounted for 0.2 of the 0.3 percentage points. What? They said her price, that they said prices rose by 9.7% May year on year, down from 10. But the first time they said that they had decreased in blah, blah, blah prices. But then they said that there was an unexpected rise, and they think it was because she came to Stockholm. That's nuts. Seriously? That's crazy. Okay, I just, I've seen everything now. That's all right. New York City office space occupancy. Remember how everyone was leaving Manhattan? So now their, like, actual brick and mortar occupancies hit 50% for the first time since the COVID crash. That was just last week. Crossed 50% last week. Because, it collapsed their economy and everybody left. So they said that depressed business districts are still in trouble, though. But they said that the milestone came during the wildfires. But reverting, they said, to pre-COVID times is just absolutely, it's impossible. They said it's been a real struggle for employers, and everybody's having to, like, reinterpret how they're doing business now. It's pretty amazing. A new report says that AI could destroy or degrade 300 million jobs. Goldman Sachs says that 300 million jobs could be lost or diminished by the technology as automation renders human workers unnecessary. No one saw this come. You know who's going to be really hit is minimum wage. They're going to be really hit. Kenya tea pickers are destroying the machines replacing them. Kericho, Kenya. Kenyan tea pickers are destroying the machines that have been bought in to replace them during violent protests that highlight the challenge faced by lower skilled workers as more agribusiness companies rely on automation. 10 tea plucking machines have been torched in multiple flashpoints in the past year. They have the Kenya Tea Growers Association. They're saying it costs like $1.2 million in damages. I mean, they're interesting. There you go. And scientists think that the chicken came first, not the egg. They think it was born live like mammals. That's what they said. Stick with us. I've been really interested in watching the back and forth of this. So Netflix has decided to make a docudrama on Cleopatra. And they had it cast. They have a 37-year-old English actress Adele James as the title character. And then it all went to hell. Because some people got mad, not for the reasons that you think, though. So Egypt is mad. Like, the entire country of Egypt is mad. And they have slammed Netflix for what they say is the falsification of Egyptian history. In fact, the phrase that was used... And it's a Jada Pinkett Smith docuseries, so that tells you everything you need to know right there. Egypt and some critics from Egypt have accused Netflix of, and I'm using their words, blackwashing, and by casting a black British actress as the Macedonian Greek ruler. Whew. It is insane. And I am just sitting back and watching this. Now, Jada Pinkett Smith had said she wanted to tell the story. She said, we don't often get to see or hear stories about black queens. They had the trailer that they released a couple of weeks ago, and Egypt is infuriated, like literally Egypt. The Egyptian Ministry of Tourism and Iniquities shared images of the bust, and they argued that she wasn't black. They said she was Macedonian. She had, in fact, Hellenistic characteristics and a light complexion, is what they're arguing. That's the Ministry of Tourism and Antiquities in Egypt. And the Secretary General of Egypt's Supreme Council of Archaeology, Dr. Mustafa Wuziri, said that the appearance of Cleopatra in the upcoming series was a, quote, falsification of Egyptian history and a blatant historical misconception. That was a direct quote. I've never quite seen anything like this before. I mean, I know that there was like at one point Gal Gadot was attached to a film. They've been trying to make a new Cleopatra film forever, and people got really, woke scolds got mad because they were upset that it wasn't a black actress cast. And then there were arguments over Cleopatra's, I guess her heritage and her history, her family history. And historians, including, I think, the single most prolific biographer on Cleopatra, was saying, well, you know, it's Macedonian and Greek, and had very, and was described as having European features, or what we would call European features today, is what he had said. I actually had this previously in some email prep for you, but with everything going on, we're getting to it today, but they said that, Dr. Wuziri said, the film is classified as a documentary and not a drama. And that was like their big sticking point. They said, this isn't sort of, you know, a historical fiction, you know, fiction based off something historical. They're saying that they were presenting it. He was upset. He was saying they're presenting this as a documentary. And he said, not a drama, and the order that the owners of its industry have to investigate accuracy and refer to historical and scientific facts in order to ensure, he adds, that the history of and civilizations of people is not falsified. He blasted Netflix, along with other anthropologists and archaeologists and historians. Whew. They blasted Netflix for not even referring or consulting with them when making the series. Oh my gosh. They also had an incredibly lengthy statement. And Egypt attached, the Ministry of Tourism and Antiquities attached all these images of artifacts, coins, the busts, the, you know, all kinds of whatever depiction that they could. They said that they were showing off her Greek features. It's supposed to air on May 10th. And they were showing off her Greek features, etc. They had a painting from a villa at Herculaneum in modern day Campania, and they were saying that they were arguing that it was a posthumous portrait of Cleopatra. They were showing like her imprint on coin, everything. So it is so long. I can't even get into everything. It is such a long, and the letter and everything that they attached to it. And they really got into the history. I actually learned a lot more about her dynasty and her family from reading this. But it was pretty unbelievable. And they said that the show also featured content that violated Egypt's own media laws. And they, wait, there's more. There's a lawyer, because they had a suit filed against them too. Oh yeah, they had a suit filed against them. They also had the former antiquities minister from Cairo slammed it as completely fake. They said Egyptians were reacting with horror to it. They also said that the anthropology studies and DNA studies conducted on mummy and bones confirmed that Egyptians do not bear the features of South Saharan Africans. They said that Netflix is trying to provoke confusion by spreading false and deceptive facts that the origin of the Egyptians about the origin of the Egyptian civilization. They said that one lawyer, Mahmoud Al-Samari, filed a complaint with the public prosecutor demanding that they block access to Netflix over it. And they said that the show that Netflix was, quote, trying to promote Afrocentric thinking, distorting and erasing Egyptian identity, end quote. Whoa. So I've never seen a fight like this. Have you?
No. Country?
Yeah, everybody's mad in this country, apparently. Like, Egyptians were horrified, according to some of the reporting. They were horrified. There's like, if you look at some of the European reports of it as well, they're like highly critical. What makes me mad is that they don't come right out and say it, but it's almost like, especially if you look at like French reporting on it, they're attributing this to, oh, this is American wokery nonsense at work. I thought we imported that from them. Didn't we?
I think they're already over it before us.
Did they get over it? And then now they're acting like it's us. I'm so confused because that's what the left always, I mean, oh man, I understand their argument though. Right. Yeah.
Because isn't this the group that is upset at cultural appropriation?
Yes.
So why, I mean,
the Netflix crowd, yes.
Yeah. So why would they not have the same outrage in this misrepresentation of that culture?
I mean, it's really, exactly. And it's really hard to argue with literally the amount of scholars and, I mean, all of the people, the anthropologists, the archaeologists, the historians, the scholars, antiquities minister, current and previous, other, oh man, all these people that have come forward who have blasted Netflix. And then they like submit all of this, you know, the busts, the coinage, the, I don't want to call it a fresco, but the depictions, even in, you know, other, like in the Herculaneum one, etc. Wow, that's like really hard. It's hard to argue with that. When they presented it, I'm just like, I've never seen anything like this in my life. So yeah, Jada Pinkett Smith is getting dragged for this, getting absolute. Some might say slapped, but I swear that's not the only reason I like Brock. Because I've never seen anything. I mean, on Twitter, oh my gosh. Like, listen to this. This is how it's being portrayed. Like, some of the comments are, identifying Queen Cleopatra as black for fulfilling modern African-American fantasies is theft of Egyptian history and an attempt to rewrite history's greats. Another says, for the nth time, the Egyptian Queen Cleopatra was not an Egyptian. She was Greek, Macedonian descent, etc. I mean, oh, wow. It is crazy. So I do think, because apparently it's, you know, and I don't know a lot about Cleopatra and the dynasty, but apparently, I mean, it's a very significant part of Egyptian history, and having that distinction is a part of, you know, there is a part of their history. But you're right. I mean, what did you say? Like, say what you were talking about, like in some of your proposals. It's like somebody was making a movie and they about somebody and they.
Yeah, let's just say we go back in history. We do a movie about MLK and we just have somebody like Woody Harrelson play MLK. Or what if, you know what I mean? What if we have a movie about B.B. King and we just get like Eric Clapton or Slash to play B.B. King? Like, is that acceptable? No. I mean, based on this, it seems like those moves would be acceptable.
Yeah. I mean, there's, I think in the instances where it plays almost itself a significant portion of the story or of the history, I don't think you can ignore it. I mean, and it's not excluding anything. I mean, it's just the way that something happened. But yeah, you did bring up an interesting point earlier, because with all of the weeping and gnashing of teeth over appropriation, I mean, this seems like, according to what they're all saying, that that's actually appropriation. I mean, never thought I'd see the day. I've been reading like the back and forth about this for a week and a half. I am absolutely fascinated with it, because somebody on social media, like an actress or an actor or producer will say something, and then it's like there's like an alarm that goes off somewhere in the pyramids in Giza, and like all of these anthropologists and archaeologists and everyone else come out and they drag this person. It is, yeah. And you would, does Netflix like the attention, do you think?
I think so.
Kind of does make them look silly. If they didn't even consult with any historians, how are they going to call it a docu drama?
Well, people are going to tune in to see if they launch it on the day they're going to launch it, number one. Number two, I think Netflix is playing it smart as far as just allowing this to happen there. They haven't really made any statements about it or anything. They're just sort of promoting this, and they're hoping that a lot of eyes and ears. Right now, they're getting free press. Look at that. They don't have to pay a dime. And how many outlets are writing about this right
yeah.
now? So, yeah.
That everyone's watching and eating popcorn. I mean, to watch someone be so expertly scholarly schooled is pretty amazing.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.